we left off last week, we were discussing the kula nuchus ksamim, that if a woman finds a stain, shvanzi kesem, and there's no hargosha, whatever hargosha means, but the lemaisa, there's no hargosha, so it's only a problem with the rabbanan, and the chachamim instituted a certain leniency, and if it's found on a davish ena makabel tumba, though it's not a problem of ksamim altogether. We spoke last week what the lumdus is, the taisus, what it's all about, but lemaisa, that's the din shulchan aruch. But if you find a kesem on a davish ena makabel tumba, it's not a problem. Now we have just some practical applications of this. Last week we spoke a little bit about ksamim on karka, the toilet bowl, things like that. Now we have some more other issues that come up, very real shadows, lemaisa, that emanate from this kula of ksamim on a davish ena makabel tumba. So of course, in order to answer any of these shadows correctly, we have to know a little bit of information about Kabbalah's tumma. So we have to have a little bit of background about tumma v'tara. So the shach in Siman Kuf Tzadi, the long siman about ksamim, so when this din comes up, so the shach says that if you want to know which things are makabel tumma, which things are not, so the shach says, just take a look at the Mishnayis and Maseches Kelim. Here's a one-line shach says, just take a quick look at the Mishnayis and Kelim and you'll figure out what is makabel tumma, what's not. So you read that shach, you figure, okay, the Mishnayis and Kelim, how big can it be? It must be a couple of lines of Mishnayis. Then you realize that's 30 prakim. So the shach just alluded to it, just kind of kliyachayad. If you look, 30 prakim of Kelim. I don't know about you, but I think the only time I ever learned Kalim was once when I had to learn it for Yud Beis Chodesh, for Shloshim, you know, things like that. That's when people get end up learning in Yanam of Kalim. So we're not going to learn all Maseches Kalim right now. That'll take us a little bit long. I'm not qualified to give Shiurim Maseches Kalim, but we'll just extract one or two important things that are most relevant Lamaisa for us. So there is a big machlekes that was really a raging machlekes for hundreds of years about what is the status of a kesem that's found on paper. Is paper makabel tumma or not? So this is, of course, very, very relevant for us because many some are found on toilet paper. So as a woman is wiping herself and she finds a little spot, she's not gushing, not flowing, not hagosha, she finds a little bit of blood on the toilet paper. If she has something to be tola it on, so she knows she has hemorrhoids, or she has a mako, she has something else in that area, so fine, so that will be okay. Or if it's less than a gris, like we said already in the past year, it'll also be all right. But very common shiloh, very, very common shiloh, she's wiping herself, she finds more than a gris, and it's red, and there's nothing to be tola on, so what's the story? Is the toilet paper makabel tumma or not? So how would you even go about answering the shiloh? You're not going to find the Mishnah that talks about toilet paper. So how would you go ahead and be down on the shiloh? Is the toilet paper, the tissue paper, makabel tumma or not? So the poskim discussed that l'chorah should depend on what the toilet paper is made of, or what paper is made of in general. So where does paper come from? So if you look at half the achronim, they describe making a paper in one way. Look at the other half of the achronim, you find them describing paper in another way. So half the achronim describe making paper from wood, from tree, extract from parts of trees, and the other half describe making paper from old rags. So you gotta scratch your head and say, what's going on? Couldn't they get the rack together? So the answer is, there are two different ways of making paper. So I remember when I was learning the sugya, I couldn't figure out, I'm reading, I couldn't remember what's going on. So then I looked up a little bit information, look up a paper, Google paper or something. You'll see the history of paper making. There were two very, very different processes of how to make paper. So there was a whole tumult of the paper comes from rags, well, it comes from old clothing, the clothing was makabel tumma, maybe the rags are makabel tumma, maybe the papers are makabel tumma. Is it a new entity? Is it a part of chadosh? Back and forth, a lot of lumdus. Is paper makabel tumma? Comes with Meshe Feinstein in the Tshuva, and he writes that machlokes, although for hundreds of years the poskim couldn't figure out whether the paper is makabel tumma, and therefore by extension, is it subject to ksamim? Ramesh writes the whole shaila is moot bisman hazeh. It's an irrelevant shaila today for the following reason. There is a Mishnah, Maseches Kelim, that Ramesh, at least he learned Maseches Kelim. He didn't just allude to it like I did. He actually learned it. So Ramesh writes, there's a Mishnah, Maseches Kelim, that he learned pshat in that Mishnah, which comes out to teach us that any kli that is disposable, something that's used only one time, is not considered to be subject to the dinim of tumah v'tahara. The whole parish of tumah was only given to a kli eitz, it's going to be used for a while, a kli cheres can be used for a while. If you have a kli, even if it's made from a type of material that would be subject to tumah v'tahara, if it's just a temporary disposable kind of a utensil, that's not a kli in halacha. Therefore, Avisha says, paper in the old days, in the days of the Chayodom, when the Chayodom wrote about paper, in the 1800s, paper was expensive, so people would reuse the paper. Whereas today, we're talking about toilet paper, so tissue paper. No one's reusing a dirty tissue. So Rav Moshe writes that anything today that's disposable, so it's by definition not makabel tumma. So whatever's not makabel tumma is not subject to tumas ksamim. This kula of Rav Moshe was important in other areas. Those who remember the tefillas Kalim Shiurim, this is Rav Moshe L'shitasa, that you don't have to tefill the disposable pants, even though they're made from aluminum, and aluminum should be chayiv in tefillah. But if something that you just use one time, throw it into garbage, that's not considered to be a kli for the purposes of tumah v'tahara. That's Rav Moshe L'shitasa. This is Rav Moshe's famous kula about the toilet paper. Not everybody accepted the school of Rav Moshe. All the Peshtim and the Mishnayos and Kehilah, but this was the Pesach of Rav Moshe, at least vis-a-vis the toilet paper. L'chora, there's an important corollary of this Pesach of Rav Moshe, and that would be also a very common shaila. If a woman finds a kesem on a pad, now here we have to be careful, because as we mentioned one of the early shiurim, why is the woman wearing a pad? So if she's wearing a pad because she's getting her period and she's really bleeding and there's heavy bleeding, so then it's not going to help me that the pad is not mekabel tumah. She's going to be asura min haTorah whenever there's any dam behargasha, so she's a nida midaraisa. This whole kula of Eina Mekabel Tumah is only when we're in the realm of Ksamim, which is only Midirabanan. So if it's a small spot, for whatever reason she's wearing a pad, she's wearing a liner, whatever it is, whatever she's wearing, which shouldn't be, whatever it is, bottom line is she's wearing something which is disposable. And now the Kesem, a small spot, shows up on this pad. So you could have a whole discussion whether the pad is subject to Tumah, is it made of the proper material to be Tumah, according to Rav Moshe. It's a moot child again. According to Rav Moshe, if it's disposable, you only use it once, throw it in the garbage. So according to Rav Moshe, by definition, it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah. So we have two very, very important kulas that emanate from Rav Moshe's premise in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, that toilet paper is not Mekabel Tumah, and pads are not Mekabel Tumah, according to this Chiddush of Rav Moshe. And there are those who disagree with both of these kulas of Rav Moshe, which are really one and the same shaila. Again, there are different opinions amongst different Rabbanim about this, but in Hilchos Ksamim, we tend to be Mekel. Ksamim only mid the Rabbanan, the Poskim have a phrase, the Ksamim Shom and the Hokel, so those who want to rely on these kulas have a right to do so. But one has to be careful in terms of the pads that it doesn't end up being a shalav of deraisa. If it's a significant amount, that could sometimes touch on a shalav needed deraisa. There is another technical hitch with relying on this kula, specifically concerning toilet paper, and that's a chiddush of the Sidrei Tahara. The Sidrei Tahara wrote a sefer on the back of Hilchos Nidah, one of the Gedolei Poskim in Hilchos Nidah, and the Sidrei Tahara has the following chiddush, that when we speak about the kula of a dover she'ena makabel tumah, so the Sidrei Tahara argues that's only true if the kesem is found on a dover she'ena makabel tumah, which is just sitting on the floor or something. All the examples that we had in the Gemara, the woman finds a kesem on the floor, she finds a kesem on the wall of the house, she finds a kesem on the toilet bowl, things of that nature. Or let's say if she would find a kesem on a dover she'ena makabel tumah that's not being held by a dover makabel tumah. Problem is, when a woman finds a kesem on toilet paper, so true, the toilet paper is not subject to tumah, but she is subject to tumah. She's a person. Person is makabel tumah. When you have a dover makabel tumah holding and carrying a dover she'ena makabel tumah, so the Sidrei Tahara says, all bets are off. And the kula of ena makabel tumah doesn't apply. What kind of Sidrei Tahara is that? So it says, it's very simple. What was the whole lumdus where dover she'ena makabel tumah is not a problem in the first place? If you remember from last week, we said in the name of the Nedi Yehuda, the Nedi Yehuda explained that ksamim were instituted because we have to be metame the object itself. That means when you find a kesem on underwear, so the rav has to paskin, the underwear is tame, and the woman is a sur labayla. Today, obviously, we don't paskin the underwear is tame, it doesn't interest us. That's what we mentioned, how ksamim, why does ksamim apply altogether b'zman hazeh. But the rationale for ksamim, the original takon of ksamim was that since we have to paskin the tumah v'tahara shayla, and we have to paskin that l'chumra, so the extent by karla, we have to paskin that the woman is a surah. You can't give this half-baked psach, you can't give a contradictory psach. This is tameh and you're muteret. Doesn't make any sense to the balabatim. So that was the takana of ksamim. Now we understand, if there's no tumah v'tahara shayla, because it's found on the ground, so no one's asking the shayla whether the ground is tameh, or there's no, the kesem is found on the toilet bowl, there's no shayla whether the toilet bowl is tameh, it's karka, so if there's no tumah v'tahara shayla, then memela, there's no reason to be mita'asa the woman. But says the Sidrei Tahara, if a person is holding the toilet paper, so even though the toilet paper itself is not makabel tumah, but there's a concept of tumas masa, that if I carry damnida, I become tameh. Not only if I touch damnida, not only if underwear touches damnida, does it become tameh, but if a person carries damnida, like if you carry a piece of a mace, if you carry a piece of nevela, there are certain tumas that are metameh b'masa, so damnida happens for our bad luck, happens to be one of them. So the Sidrei Tahara says, now imagine the following shayla. A woman comes back, because mantra based on Mikdash HaYakayim, the woman finds a kesem on toilet paper, and she's holding the toilet paper. She comes to the Rav, and she asks the Rav, what am I? Am I a nida? Am I not a nida? So the Rav says, wait, let's analyze the shayla. The toilet paper is nothing, because toilet paper is not makabel tumah, because the Rav quotes Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe didn't live yet, but 2,000 years later. He quotes Rav Moshe's kula, the toilet paper is okay. But now it becomes very, very sticky. The woman wants to know, Rabbi, am I Tameya or am I Tahora? So listen to this psach that has to be given to the woman. You're technically not a Nida, that means you're not tamei with the tumas nida because the dam was a shelo bar gosha. You're technically muteras labailech because you didn't become a nida. However, catch this one. You have to go to the mikveh anyway. You know why? You have to go to the mikveh because you're carrying dam nida. The same way that if your husband would carry dam nida, the same way if anybody would carry dam nida, you would become tamei. So listen to this crazy psak you have to give the woman. Is it nida? Is it not nida? It depends. If you want to know whether you are tamei a re'ias nidos, you're not re'ias nidos because it was shlo bar gosha. You want to know whether you can be with your husband, you're muteras to b'lailech. But you want to know, do you have to go to the mikveh? Yeah, you have to go to the mikveh anyway because you're carrying dam nida. So comes the Siddur Torah and says, that's a split psak. That's bad. That's bad PR. You can't give such a psak. So says the Siddur Torah, anytime you have something which is makabal tuma, holding your dovish ain't a makabal tuma, we remove the kul of ain't a makabal tuma, and you're stuck with the original chumra vichos ksamim. So in one fell swoop, the Siddur Torah just asked all the toilet paper b'shalas. Everything is asur because the person is holding the toilet paper b'shalas ma'isa. So that was the bad news. The good news is that many Pelskim don't accept the Siddur Torah. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. The Takana was a low plug, the kula also. It means, hey, don't tell me stories. Who's holding what? Tachlis, Rabbi, is the Kesem on a Dover Makabal Tumah? If the answer to that question is no, if the Kesem's on a Dover Shem Makabal Tumah, it's mutter, finished, end of discussion. So many Pelskim are Mako like this. So the mice, those who want to be Mako, that's going to be the common refrain of Hilchas Ksamim. Those who want to be Mako have a right to be Mako. Many are not Machmir for this Siddur Torah. So again, when people ask me this Shaila, they find the Kesem on toilet paper, so I'll make a lot of straight. Out. I make a like Rav Moshe that the toilet paper is not makabel tumah b'zman hazeh, and I make against the Siddur Torah that you don't have to be chayshish for this chumra of a davar makabel tumah holding on to a davar she'en makabel tumah. There is another important shaila that the poskim discuss about davar makabel tumah, and that's if a kesem is found on synthetic material. What is the halacha? So this shaila happens often. Sometimes certain stockings may be made of synthetic material. Sometimes some show up on sheets and mattress covers and assorted different types of things that may be made out of synthetic material. Are these things makabel tumah? What is the halacha? So this is a very, very modern day shaila because these things, the polyester, these kinds of things didn't exist in the days of the Rishonim, in the days of the Echron didn't exist. So what's the din? Are any of these things makabel tumah? So on the one hand, it looks like a garment, it's like a beged. So the Torah says a beged is makabel tumah. So why should we think that anything made out of polyester is different? So this is one of the believe it or nots in Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara. There is a din, it's a Mishnah in Maseches Kelim, that kol shebayam tohar. There's a special quirk. Again, you can't ask any kashas on Tumah V'Tahara. It's all chukim, gzeiros, akosos. But there's a special chiddush Torah that anything that's made out of material that comes from the ocean, comes from the water, kol shebayam tohar. So if you make... Mishnah was talking about you make some kind of a garment out of some fish skin, I don't know, some fish material or something. It's not makabel tumah. Kol shebayam tohar. That's the din. Go ask the kashan the Rebbe Shlomo's din ha'Torah. Kol shebayam tohar. So came a group of poskim and came up with a very fascinating phrase. They said, "Well, what does this mean? Kol shebayam tohar. It means things that are made out of liquids, things that are made out of water. Those types of materials are by definition considered to be tohar." So came a group of poskim and said, coined the following phrase. Mali be'er mayim, mali be'er neft. Huh? What does that mean? What's the difference whether you're dealing with a well of water? If you make something out of a well of water, it would be mutter, kol shebayam tohar. So what's the difference whether you have a water well or you have an oil well? What's oil? Oil is black water. Tell that to the Saudi Arabians. It's black water. It's water. It's liquid. It's in the ground. It's in a well in the ground. So what's the difference whether if you can figure out a way to make a beged out of oil, so that would be subject to the gzeiros hakos of kol shebayam tohar. How are you going to do that exactly? How do you make a beged out of oil? So we know all these materials are all petroleum derivatives. So all these synthetic materials, the polyester, these kinds of things. Okay, if you would ask me how in the world you take, and I can't figure out how you get gas in your car and it turns into a polyester sheet, but that's what they tell you. That's what happens. So all these things are all made from oil derivatives. So that's considered to be subject to this kula of kol shebayam tohar. Believe it or not, that's what the Gedolei HaPoskim write. Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes like that. Vosner writes like that. That's the psach that's given today. The kol shebayam tohar, anything that's made from synthetic, is tohar. However, there's a very small however to this. in the sugi of kosher b'yam tohar, it's pointed out that that's only true if the entire material is made from davar shebayam. Only if the entire thing is synthetic from beginning to end. If there's any natural fibers in there, any natural stitching in there, anything whatsoever, so that automatically is not included in this kula of kosher b'yam tohar. What would this mean practically? So let's say, a woman has a pair of stockings, and the stockings say on them they're polyester stockings, they're made out of anachlase, rayon, I don't know, whatever other fibers that are not natural, but there's a little bit of cotton in them. There's a cotton stitches here and there in them. So they quote a Rambam, I didn't quote Rav Adi Yosef, dug up a Rambam in Hilchos Kelim, but the Rambam, I don't know, dug up a Tosefta somewhere, yeah, somewhere it says that this klal of kosher b'yam tohar is limited only if there's completely shebayam. If there's any natural fibers, kiuza, in it, so that's considered to be a problem, and the whole thing is mekabel tuma, I'll shame the natural stitching. So this shayla comes up. Sometimes a woman finds a kesem. I've had this shayla a few times. A woman finds a kesem on a pair of stockings or something. For some reason, it quirked the way the kesem presented itself. It wasn't on the underwear. Sometimes it's less than a gris on the underwear, then it's more than a gris on the stockings. You have crazy permutations. So the woman comes now, a pair of stockings, wants to know, is it a problem? So we'll talk about if it's cold stockings, even different. Sometimes not cold stockings, whatever it is. Shilas is a makabel tuma, not. So you have to look with the ingredients. Look what's the makeup? What is it? What does it come from? So very often they're made out of synthetic material. The problem is that very often they may be the bulk of it may be synthetic material, but sometimes there are natural fibers in them. So if there's any cotton stitching or anything whatsoever in it, that's going to ruin it. So you have to be very, very careful before you pass any shilas on synthetic. You have to make sure you got all your facts right. So I'll tell you, Mike's a shayek achoya. That this goes back, I can tell you exactly how long ago this child goes back, because it was the week that my son was born, Meirachov was born, so he's just turned 11 in the summer, so 11 plus. So somebody called me, we still lived in Washington Heights at the time, somebody called me with the following shayla, that they had just found a kesem on a mattress cover. Right, it was not on the sheet. It was a little quirk. The sheet was colored. It's Sivon. We'll talk about that. And it went through to the mattress cover, and the mattress cover was white. They want to know what's the din. It was more than a gris. What's the halacha? Is it a problem on this mattress cover? So I asked them, what's the mattress cover made of? So they said to me, the mattress cover is, looks on it, it says polyester, whatever it was, some kind of synthetic material. So I started saying, synthetic material, sounds like it's okay. Sounds like maybe we could be make all that. It's not makabel ksamim. So I was a little bit nervous about this. So I called up Rabbi Willink at the time. It was in the summertime. So I remember I called him. He was in camp. He was in Lake Como. So this was one of these, last week I spoke about the Hanov to Paramus call. This is one of those other triple conference calls. So this guy's fellow calls me from him. Where he lives, calls me in the Heights. I called Rabbi Willig in Kep Marasha, and I asked him, what's the story with this synthetic 100% polyester mask cover? He said to me, not so posh. He said, make sure that it's really 100% polyester, not so simple. So I said, well, it says on the ingredients. Says that, like in the 1940s, you know, the old years, we used to eat food. Ice cream says, sounds like it's kosher, all the ingredients are kosher, you can eat the ice cream. So we've learned to pass that point. You have to check past what it says in the ingredients. So he said to me, you can't just rely on what it says on the thing, you got to find out, call the company. So you check online, I don't know, whatever. So we started to look, try to investigate. So I tell this guy to go start doing some research. So it turns out there were a few phone calls that went back and forth. I remember every time I kept on calling Rabbi Willig that day. So I remember my wife was due, Mamish, she was due any moment. So every time I kept on calling, he said, he used to call Rabbi Tzvi, because I was his kid's Rebbe. So he used to call Rabbi Tzvi, did you have a baby yet? I said, Rabbi, there's no baby yet. We got a mattress cover problem. 5 minutes later, Rabbi, we got a stitching problem in the mattress cover. We got a machlekes between the mattress companies. So he was getting a little, and the next day, my wife had a baby or something. So I called him, I said, Rabbi, it's a boy, not a mattress cover, not a stitch, not a polyester, not a nothing. That's how I remember, that's how I could date that particular story. But anyway, the end of that story was that mattress cover, Taka, had some cotton stitching in it. That apparently the company finally got somebody on the line from the company who said that there is cotton stitching and but by law they're not obligated to list it on the thing because of the amount of it. Kids like the ingredients store less than 2%, whatever the rules were. So tacos was, there was a little bit of stitching. So I had a ask of this woman. It cost her 2 weeks of being a nida for 2 weeks because of those couple of cotton stitches in the mattress cover. So the couple was a little bit upset, a little bit distraught. So I gave him a big bracha. I said, what is chos? The meisa nefesh v'taras v'shpach of every detail of chos tumu v'tara mamasha. You know, what is chos? You have to gzeirim. Lufanai, that you follow all the Dini HaTorah so beautifully, even something which is so hard to understand, my nafkamina, it's a cotton stitch, and yeah, cotton stitch. So I gave him such a bracha, Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless you, you should have children. So kachava, the woman became pregnant next month. I said, I'm not a chassidish rabbi, but that was one of my... anyway, it happened, I got the same shiloh about three or four years later, I got the same exact shiloh with Matt's cover. Then I was totally, I was all prepared for it. I didn't have to, unfortunately that time I think my bracha didn't work, but I went for two, it's not bad, batting 500. But the bottom line to this whole shiloh is, depends on the material, that's the bottom line. If it's completely 100%, 1000% synthetic, then it can be makel, but practically speaking, it's usually not, that's usually not the case. Can we now move on to the next kula nuchus ksam, new sugya, and that's the sugya of tzivonim. If a kesem shows up uncolored, what is the halacha? Women's wearing colored underwear, colored sheets, or colored towel, things, or whatever, anything that's colored, is that subject to nuchus ksam or not? So why in the world should that be? Why should there be any difference? Who cares where the kesem shows up on? So this is the machlekes atanoim. So it's machlekes atanoim, the end of Maseches Nida, whether there's a kula or not. So again, we're only talking about midirabonon. If it would be a Nida d'araisa, this would be a joke. If it's a Nida d'araisa, I don't care what color it shows up on. I don't care what dover makabal tuma, not makabal tuma, it shows up on. This is only in the absence of hargosha. This is only in the absence of a regular period. If there's a real flow of blood, wherever you define hargosha from the first year, so this is a shalom in HaTorah, and there's nothing to discuss. I once had a terrible story that a woman called me, and she was describing how she's wearing colored underwear because her college teacher taught her that if you wear colored underwear, there's no problem with Vuchus Nida, and she's getting her period. She has a regular period. It's like, oh. I said, what? I said, you're having a period on colored underwear. That's irrelevant. I said, it's a chorus. I said, that's not going to help here. The cool of tzivonim only applies when you have a spot here and there, out of the ordinary, a very insignificant amount. So do we have a right to be makel? But on a needed deraisa, there's nothing, there's nothing to discuss. So there's a machlekes atanoim in the end of Maseches Nida. Is there a kula of big day tzivonim or not? So one Tana says that Chacham Mekilu of Benos Yisrael, that you could wear big day tzivonim and you don't have to worry about ksamim. Why? What's the logic? So Rashi explains, the logic is very simple. That color is critical in terms of pasking any Shanuchas Nida. Hopefully we'll talk about this Be'arichos in weeks to come, about the differences in reds and browns and yellows and all different permutations of colors. Some colors are problematic, other colors are not problematic. So Rashi says, when you find a kesem on white, so then you can judge the color accurately. When you find a... You need the light also to judge the color. When you find a color on a green beged, so it's going to be very, very hard to tell the correct color. You find the kesem on a blue beged, it's going to be impossible to tell whether this is red or not red. So came the Chacham with a kula and said that if the kesem's on a big day tzivonim, anyway you can't tell what it is. So yesh l'hokol, it's only the rabbon anyway, so kach tiknu chachamim. So it's a machlekes atanoim whether there ever was such a kula or not. How do we paskin the halacha? So the Gemara never paskins. The Gemara never tells us what the final psak is. So there was a machlekes Rishonim at a paskin. So many of the Rishonim paskin lakula on this. The Rambam and others paskin that ksam is on the Rabbanon and ksam hocha machar mekel. And it's an unresolved machlekes in the Gemara, so therefore we can just be mekel straight out. Ksam on davar on a big day tzivonim is het gom, nothing to worry about. And other Rishonim, such as the Ramban, said, not so simple. Maybe it's only a Das Yochid, it's only one Tana, where you don't paskin like that. So machlekes a Rishonim. How are we paskin la halacha? So conventional wisdom has been lakula. So we generally assume that one can be mekel on ksamim on big day on begadim tzivonim. We have a right to be mekel. That's what our minig is. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Nevertheless, there are some who still wouldn't let the issue rest. The Nedi Behuda, in his notes on the Sadeh Shulchan Aruch, said that he's not so sure that the Minhag HaElam is right. He thinks maybe we should go back to the Machmirim on this one, because after all, there's a Ramban, and he dug up a Ravan, and he dug up another Rishon, put together a whole group of Rishonim who didn't buy into the school, who said that we never passed in the school, it was never La Halacha, but L'maisa, notwithstanding the godless of the Nedi Behuda, Mechilas Kvar Teras, and the Minhag is L'Hakol. The Minhag is like the Shulchan Aruch, that Big Adam Tzivonim is not a problem of Ksamim. Again, Deraisa clearly would be a problem, but on if it's just a shayla of a kasam derabanan, so begadim tzivonim does not pose a problem. That's what our minig is. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins and the Ramah and the Shach and the Taz. That's standard practice. Bizman hazeh.
Is that so? Just to, does that mean so? It's always not Bargosha and time of a period. You know, nothing Shivnikim.
We're going to get to Shivnikim. Shivnikim is going to be the little bit of the yotzim in a klal. We're going to get to them. Okay. So this is the standard psach. That's how we assume la halacha. The Gemara says in Maseches Nida that the Chachamim were very weary to institute the Skula, not because of Maseches Nida, but they really didn't want to institute the Skula for another reason, because, believe it or not, Zechel Churban. The Gemara says that at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Chachamim instituted a lot of chumras that we should try not to live so fancy, we should try to cut down on some of our extra things in life. When a person builds a house, he's supposed to leave part of the house undone. And a person sets the table, he should leave off a little dish. And a woman wears jewelry, should leave a piece of jewelry off. Different takanas that were made to try to feel the tzara and the avelus of the churban. So the Gemara says that the chumim really would have made the following chumra. They really had it in. People should not wear colored clothing. People should only dress yeshiva shirt, white, black, the real, everyone should look the same. No one should wear blue shirts, green shirts, purple shirts. Some yeshivas they're still holding in that Zechel Chorban. So the Gemara says they were willing to make a takana. They wanted to make a takana. Nobody should wear anything colored. They felt that would be too flashy, too much of a lack of avelos of the Chorban. But the Gemara says that they refused to make that takana. The Chachamim refused to make that takana, because if they would have made that takana, then they would have had to include women in the takana also, and then the women wouldn't have been able to wear bigdei tzivonim. And if they would not have been able to wear bigdei tzivonim, that would have let the chumras and uchas nida. So they didn't want to make life impossible for everybody. So they wanted, in order, so we should thank our wives. We're allowed to wear blue shirts today because of the dinim of bigdei tzivonim. So the Gemara says beferish nida. The only reason why they didn't institute the iser of a zechel churban and begadim tzivonim was in order to let the Bnei Yisrael still have this kula, still salvage this kula of begadim tzivonim. Anyway, so Charek, those who shun will don't accept the kula, so then maybe they should stop wearing colored shirts. According to them, there's no reason to permit wearing color. I don't know, whatever it is. The bottom line is the minig is we wear colored shirts, and the minig is that some people wear colored shirts, don't we? Okay, we wear colored ties. Some people wear colored shirts, and we assume that the women are permitted to wear begadim tzivonim, and it's not a problem whatsoever. What exactly do we mean when we say begadim tzivonim? What exactly constitutes tzivonim? What color is a color? So, if you go back to the original source of the Sukkah, where Rashi says that why did they give this kula? Because if you find a kesem on a colored garment, so it's going to be very hard to tell what the color is. Some Achronim said, if that's the reason for the kula, then maybe we could suggest the following chumrah. Maybe this kula only makes sense if the woman finds a kesem on a dark colored garment. What if she finds a kesem on a very, very light color, say a very, very light yellow garment? If you find red on a very, very light yellow garment, or you find red on a very light beige garment or something, it's technically colored. According to the box of Crayola crayons, it's a color, it's not white, but the reason for the kula doesn't really make any sense. Maybe the kula only makes sense if you find a kesem on a green beged, on a dark green beged. You find a kesem on a dark blue beged. You find a kesem on a black beged. So that makes sense. It's hard to discern what the color is, so that's why the chabim would make it. If you find it in such a light-colored beged, so light-colored yellow, maybe it should be like white, maybe the beige is grayish, those kinds of colors. That's the same as white, because the reason doesn't apply. That's what some Achronim wanted to be dying from Rashi. So other Achronim said, that the Chumim weren't interested in giving a color-coded session as to which colors are good, which colors are no good. The Chumim one, they instituted things as a low plug. Sometimes low plug works against us, the chumra. Sometimes low plug works as the kula. So here the low plug worked as a kula. It's the sakein that if it's called colored, it's mutter. Whatever loshem and ayadim is. If the oilam says it's colored, it's colored. It happens to be that this particular kesem taka, you can tell what color it is. It doesn't matter. Kach tik duchacham bein lekula bein lechumra. So that's what I think most, whenever you use the phrase most, you get into trouble. It depends who's counting the most. But that's the way at least I was taught to pass the Mishailas. Then if it's uncolored, whatever the Olam says it's colored, it's colored. So what's called colored? So gray is also called colored. Yellow is also called colored. Beige is also called colored. But there's one thing that may very well not be called color. That's what's called off-white. Off-white is a tricky shot on the poskim. So some poskim say, it's not white, it's called off-white. Another poskim say, no, it's called white, it's just called off-white. It's white, it's the same thing as white. So that's already a shiloh. You find a kesem on an off-white thing. Sometimes you have to be very careful. Sometimes you can find a kesem on something which at one time was colored, but it's faded to such an extent that it's white. Somebody just came recently to show me a shiloh. Shiloh came up on a towel. Happens sometimes, a kesem on a towel. So they called me up and they said, it's a blue towel. So I said, okay, well, it's a blue towel, so what am I looking at it for? I said, if it's just a kesem, it's just a small amount, if it's blue, it's blue. So he said to me, well, it's been washed many, many times, and it's not exactly blue anymore. So maybe I should look at it. So I wasn't going to, I was, here I had a look at the shadow. Usually when a Rav is called to look at a color, so he has to figure out whether something is red or brown or yellow. Here, I'm coming to look at the towel to see whether it's blue or not. That was my job. I have a new, put it into my new color code. If the Paskin shadow, is this a blue towel or is this a white towel? If it's a blue towel, then it's mutar. If it's a white towel, then it's going to be a kesem. That's a problem. So they brought me the towel. I have to be honest that if they wouldn't have told me beforehand that at one time it was a blue towel, I never would have dreamt it was a blue towel. It was a white towel. They said, then if you look carefully, you could see a little faded, a little blue in the background. It was a mamasha white towel. So, ain't a dinal mash in a rose. If it looks, as the famous umpire said, you gotta call him like you see him. So, if it looks blue, then it's mut. If it looks white, then it's also. So, that's the way it is. There's a Ramah in Hilchos Nida that we'll talk about this when we talk about looking at colors of maros. So the Ramah writes certain maros are heter gomer, you don't even have to worry about them at all. So the Ramah writes, for example, if a woman finds a mara mashikorin blue, if she finds a blue mara, and I've never found a blue mara, no one ever showed me a blue mara. A blue towel, yeah, but a blue mara, no. So I don't know, whatever it is. The bottom line is that depending on the garment, if the garment is still colored, so then it's going to be okay. There are some poskim who didn't buy into the toilet paper cooler that we spoke about before in the Nevi'im Moshe, who held that some on toilet paper is a problem. So those poskim recommended that a woman should always use colored toilet paper. Because if you use colored toilet paper, then you marviach two things. You don't have to rely on Rav Moshe's kula of toilet paper being in a kabbal tumah, and you don't have to be making against the Sidrei Tahara, because the Sidrei Tahara held that even though it's in a kabbal tumah, but you're holding it, and you're a kabbal tumah. So if you use kula toilet paper, you marviach the whole world. So that's what I used to tell people. Years ago, I used to tell people they should always try lechatchil, they should use kula toilet paper. Then it became much harder to get kula toilet paper, because it's, women are allergic to it. It's not as common anymore. So it used to be much more common to see colored toilet paper all over the place. Now if you look around, in case anyone's interested in that piece of study, so now it's much more common to see white toilet paper than colored paper. That's the reason why apparently there are people getting reactions to the dye in the toilet paper. But it used to be good in Hilchos Nida. It used to be an advantage of Hilchos Nida to use the colored toilet paper. Now I just tell people whatever you have, it's going to be mutter anyway based on Rav Moshe's cooler. Sometimes you have a funny shaila that shows up on a beged savua. Sometimes a woman will show you a beged that is partially white and partially colored. And the kesem, again, some don't appear perfectly the way they're supposed to. So the kesem didn't behave properly, didn't show up just in the white part, didn't show up dafka in the colored part. It shows a mixture of everything. So now what do you do? So we assume that halacha you have to do as follows, that any part that's on the colored is commander lesa. That doesn't count. It doesn't count as the shear of the gris. The only part that counts as the shear of a gris, to me, mitami the woman, is only that which is on the white part. So now you got to start doing surgery again on this pair of underwear. So you have to cut out the red, whatever is red. Rav has to look at this from so many different vantage points. You got to first figure out what's red and what's not red. Whatever's not red is b'chol not a problem. You got to first determine what's red and what's not red. Then you have to figure out, is the red part on the colored part, or is the red part on the white part? And then you have to do all the math, and then add up all the red part on the white part, and if all of that adds up to a gris, so then and only then the woman is asura. So sometimes you have to do that. So that's why I was tell the women, don't wear these kinds of underwear. It makes life more complicated. At the time when you're supposed to wear colored, you wear colored. At the time you were supposed to wear white, you wear white. That's it. Don't these mixes and matches can sometimes cause problems, complications in Nuchas Nida. When we say that a woman is permitted to wear these colored underwear, so it's going to solve all our problems in Nuchas Nida, is she supposed to be doing this? Is this something that we say, okay, but the evidence are right, but we don't really advocate, or is there something that's a good idea? So the Rambam has a startling lashon. The Rambam writes that tiknu chachamim sheyulbashu anashim begadim tzivonim. The Rambam writes that the chachamim are misaken, that women are supposed to, they have to wear begadim tzivonim. They're not supposed to wear white, because if they wear white, they're going to cause tzaras and nuchas nida. So why do we want women to become asuros for no reason? So it was an official form of takanas chachamim that women have to wear colored. So most of the achronim question the Rambam that if you look in the Gemara doesn't say that at all. If anything, the Gemara says fakir. So the Ramah, when he quotes this Rambam, doesn't quote the Rambam exactly. The Ramah writes that it's a toiva. He writes, we strongly recommend, we can't require it, we strongly recommend women should wear begadim tzivonim. The Ramah says, why should you cause yourself tzaras? Why should you make problems for yourself? So wear begadim tzivonim, and therefore you'll avoid many shals of echus ksamim. But to say that it's a takana, the imachuyev to, it's a takana sachamim, it's hard to believe, says the Ramah. Look in the Gemara, it doesn't appear to be that way. So again, we don't follow this Rambam most probably, but we do follow the Ramah. So we strongly recommend that a woman should wear begadim tzivonim. talk about the exceptions to that in a moment. This strong recommendation should begin even before the woman gets married. As soon as she starts her original, right before she gets married, when she goes to the mikveh the first time, she finishes a shiva nikiyah before the wedding, she should immediately switch to color. It should be emphasized that the kallahs this, because sometimes they don't. No one ever told them that. They didn't realize, they're not married yet, so they've never heard of this. They don't know. They thought it means later in life. So, a chassan and kallah called me. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. They called me. It wasn't a Dan Basulim shayla. Little shaylas always come 3 o'clock in the morning. That wasn't a shayla. They didn't even get to the point of Dan Basulim. They came back from the chassan. They came to the hotel. She went to get undressed. And she realized that there was a kesem on her underwear. So she wasn't due to get a period. She was on pills. It was a kesem. A little breakthrough bleeding, whatever it was. A little kesem on her underwear. So... So I asked them. I said, "Okay, don't worry about it. I'm sure you're wearing colored. So wouldn't be a problem anyway. So just ignore it." She said, "Colored? Who's colored? What's colored? Never. College teacher never told us she's supposed to be wearing colored at least at that point." So I said, "You've got to be kidding." I didn't say it was a halasha, but that was my after having been woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning, seeing the fact that I just gotten back from the wedding an hour before. So. Lamaisa, we had to decide. Baruch Hashem, the good news was that it was brownish enough, not the underwear was brown, but the kesem was brown enough that it was not really a problem. So in terms of the mara, so it was going to be a mara tar anyway. But that could have potentially spelled a very serious problem. It means a woman would have been asura for 2 weeks. It means that would have been not only asura for 2 weeks, that would have meant when a woman becomes a nida before bia rishona, we'll talk about this hopefully later on, there's an isha yichud, a couple are not permitted to be together. So that would have meant that They have been planning for the last 3 months. She had been on pills to try to avoid all chuppas nidas and everything. And then they goofed it. They would have potentially goofed it because she was not wearing tzivonim. She would have been asur for 2 weeks, and they would have had to go move back to the parents' house for 2 weeks, all because nobody told them that she's supposed to be wearing tzivonim. So therefore, make sure that all the kallahs should be taught to wear begadim tzivonim. So you're supposed to wear tzivonim. It's not a formal takana, but it's an eitzah tayvah kamash malan. There is one exception to this rule. There's one time during the woman's cycle where she's not supposed to be wearing tzivonim, and that is during Shiva Nikiyim, the week that she's counting her Shiva Nikiyim. So yeah, we didn't talk anything about Shiva Nikiyim yet. That's way, way, way down the line. But we try to divide the shiur into two parts. The first half is how a woman becomes a nida. The second half, how she becomes out of being a nida. So we're still very much in the beginning of the first part. So, but assuming that she's counting Hashem and Akim now, so then the woman does not wear tzivonim. Then she's dafka supposed to wear white underwear. Why is that? Where did that come from? So the Gemara has a lashon of Yemei Libuna. One place the Gemara uses a phrase describing Shiva Nikiyim as Yemei Libun. So some Rishonim said Yemei Libun, Libun, Lavan, white. And you have to wear white garments. That's what some Rishonim said. And most of the Rishonim said it's not true. That's not what Chazal meant. Yemei Libun, it means something else. But according to most poskim, the requirement, quote unquote, of wearing Lavanim during the Shiva Nikiyim is a minog. It's a minog Yisrael. It's a minog that should be followed. It should be observed. But it's only a minog. It's not a real halacha. What's the significance of that? So it's as follows. So again, 95% of the time, we tell women they should be wearing Levanim, they should be wearing white during Shiva Nikiyim, and therefore, if a kesem shows up during Shiva Nikiyim, we're going to have problems. If it's less than a gris, it'll still be mutter. There are kulas. There are certain kulas of Shiva Nikiyim also, but we're not going to rely on the kula of Begadim Tzivonim. We're going to insist that a woman wears white during Shiva Nikiyim. However, since it's only a minig, it's only a minig bialma, it's not a real din, therefore the poskim and mekel, if you have a woman who's having a lot of problems becoming tahora, you have a lot of women have problems, they have staining, all kind of issues, and they're never getting to the mikvah. So then, again, this case-by-case basis, so then many the poskim will permit them to, in a sense, violate this minig. The minig was only instituted of normal women. If a woman's having a specific complication that the Rav deems as a significant enough complication, it's interfering with her becoming tahora to a significant degree, so then the Rav will tell her, wear tzivonim. And if you wear tzivonim, then you can be mekel begadim tzivonim. So again, the kula of begadim tzivonim applies during Shiva Nikiyim, just you're not supposed to be doing it, not supposed to be wearing it. But if you have a specific heter for a unique situation, then you can rely on the kula of begadim tzivonim even during Shiva Nikiyim. So every once in a while, this comes up. So again, when we talk about Shiva Nikiyim, hopefully later down the line, we'll talk a little bit more about lamais, how this plays out. So the basic kula of begadim tzivonim exists. Most Rishonim accept it. We're asking that it exists. What's called called Savua, and all the details and nuances, those are subject to different machloksim, but we're very, very makel on the shailas, and the reason being that in general we're very makel, luchos ksam altogether, since ksam is on a midirabana. Again, just to reemphasize that everything we've been talking about up to now is assuming there's no deraisa problem. If there's a deraisa problem, then everything changes, all the kulas fall by the way. So that's hopefully Mitzvah Shem next week. Well, not next week there's no Shia, but Mitzvah Shem in 2 weeks. So we'll talk a little bit about certain types of ksamim that may be deraisa that could problems. Oh, okay, now we have our official announcement about the Marmar Kamos. Okay, so what's the official announcement? Chana, make the official announcement.
What Rabbi Sabalovsky has bought Marmar Kamos, they'll be sent out on the email if people want. If anybody would like their email address, please write it down on a piece of paper in front for guy's name?
Russell.
And this way, they'll be sending out the full documents for everybody who wants to look at it. And hopefully, Rabbi Sabalovsky, as the week goes on, whenever there will be a shear, you'll be able to say what Marmar Kamos is you're looking at if someone wants to look at that.
Got it. Okay. Very good. Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
What if the white is synthetic?